Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome into another edition of the Under Center podcast here on NBCSportsChicago.com. I'm JJ Stankovic, joined as always by John Moon Mullen here at Hallis Hall. Moon, we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on the Dolphins game.
Good.
Yeah, I think everyone in this building has moved on from that. Not much else to say besides that. Look, I looked up the numbers. Miami is 11-3 when they play an afternoon game and the game time temperature is 88 degrees or higher. It's kind of this underrated home field advantage. That's not to absolve everything that happened on Sunday, but I think it's a good starting point.
Yeah, like the Packers were once upon a time that were undefeated when it was below 40 degrees or something else in that. But yeah, I mean, it was the first day game the Bears had played in Miami since 1994. So most of these guys weren't even born at that
point.
So yeah, I mean, you might as well. They ran into a team that outplayed them and
outcoached them. Full credit to Dal Loggins and Adam Gase. But look, okay.
Moving on.
If you want any more breakdown of that game, give Sunday's Under Center podcast a listen. If you haven't listened to it, Lance Briggs, Alex Brown, Matt Forte, Lawrence Holmes did a really good job breaking it down. We're moving on to the Patriots, though. And I've heard this a little bit this week, kind of around town, some people asking me, will this game prove anything about the Bears? Will it prove that they're a contender, or that, you know, especially that would be if they win it, or if they lose it, will it prove that this team maybe isn't what we thought they were a couple weeks ago? My feeling on it is that we'll learn more about the Bears if they win this game than we will if they lose it, because if they lose it, all right, you lost to the Patriots. It's Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, who have been together since Mitch Trubisky was, what, like seven? Matt Nagy and Mitch Trubisky have been together for less than a year. So, but if the Bears go out and win it, then all of a sudden, hey, you just took out the Patriots at home. That tells me that you can defend home turf, that you can beat anyone at home, you know, even maybe the L.A. Rams when they come in December, and that things are progressing the right way for Matt Nagy, Mitch Trubisky, and this team.
Probably. Again, I think we can. It's so tempting, and we all do it. Everybody does it. Probably even some players. I don't know about the players and coaches, but I think it is really getting way ahead of things to put so much on a game. Because we saw, I mean, you know, there was such hyperventilation after the Tampa game. Oh, Mitch has arrived. Everybody's arrived. This is a playoff team, and they weren't.
Right.
So you are, you know, to use Dennis Green and Bill Parcells in various forms, you are what your record says you are. You're only as good as your next game.
Right.
So that will define them. They could, as you say, they could lose it and still be, theoretically, you know, still ahead of the division or whatever. So, as you mentioned, they've only been the staff and quarterback, or coach and quarterback, have only been together for, you know, six games. How many weeks? 6 weeks. After.
Six weeks, five games, nine months since Nagy was hired.
Yeah. No, the one thing about it, though, is how they respond, and Nagy touched on it today about, you know, that the Patriots are known for taking away what you do best.
Yeah.
And that's a Vince Lombardi commandment. And you admit, Lombardi would say, on offense, you do what you do best. On defense, you attack their strength.
Right.
What do they do best? Make them do something else to beat you. And Nagy said, you know, in their scheme, and the diversification of the play, or excuse me, of touches, this could be the team that let's test him a little bit more. Let's make him. We're gonna spy on Tariq Cohen, for example, or something. So we'll take him away. We won't give him the check down. We'll make him beat us deep, something like that. So I will be really eager to see what they do in terms of responding to what Belichick and that defense, because, again, it's a time-honored thing. You know, you think, oh, attack the weakness. Oh, Lombardi and Belichick attack your strength, make you do something else, which you don't do as well, to beat them.
So I asked Trey Burton that in the locker room today about, you know, how much during practice is spent on hey, they're going to attack this. This is what we do well versus trying to accentuate what you do well. And he was kind of like, I mean, that's every week. But while he's right about that, not every coach does it as well as Bill Belichick. Mm-hmm. In fact, no coach does it as well as Bill Belichick. I mean, look at what they did to Travis Kelce on Sunday night. I think it was Dont'a Hightower was just chipping him at the line the entire time. Mm-hmm. Basically took him out of the game. He still wound up with, like, five catches, 60-something yards. But that was a classic Belichick way to do it. And I think it goes with the personnel, too, where maybe New England didn't have the personnel to keep Tyreek Hill down. So you say, we're going to take away Travis Kelce. You got to get the ball to Tyreek Hill now. You know, Kareem Hunt had a big game. What I'm interested in is, okay, let's say the Patriots take away Tariq Cohen. Does that mean that this is a game where Jordan Howard's going to be running a lot of inside zone and maybe having success with it? I don't know. That could be an outcome of this game. Could it be that New England goes exclusively nickel and they drop 7-8 guys into coverage every play, and instead of, like you said, they take away the deep ball and they force Trubisky to check down, take the short throws on, over the middle.
Or in this case, maybe go the other way. They take away they take away Tariq Cohen and Trey Burton underneath.
Right.
Now you're going to have to beat us deep,
right,
which means a little longer, which means our rush might get to you. You know, that's the chess game that will be played out on Sunday. But and it's also, again, a huge referendum, or it's just another proving game for Nagy and his staff. How do you guys handle it?
I thought it was interesting that Trubisky said today that the fact that Matt Nagy's offense is, had success against New England, that being the opener in 2017 where the Chiefs put up 42 points. Mm-hmm. That gives him some confidence to say, you know, hey, we're going into this battle against probably the greatest coach quarterback pairing of all time. But you know what? You've had success attacking their defense. So what you say, while Trubisky fully trusts Nagy, I'm not saying he doesn't, it's got a little extra kind of spice to it this week of, you know what? Yeah, this play, that's going to work because hey, Nagy's done it before. I think that counts for something.
Yeah, it should. It's very hard to get inside, really understand a player's psyche. We as the outsiders, or the general public, see mystiques.
Right,
Do players deal in
that? Not really, no.
I don't think they do. I mean, they are so... It may be in there somewhere that at some point he's going to say, maybe Trubisky, really, instead of sitting down between series, he comes off the field and turns around and stands on the sideline to watch this guy work.
Maybe he'll do that if Brady's driving for a touchdown in the fourth quarter.
But how much the players are affected by mystique, again, if there is ever one, this is it. I mean, this is the best team, you know, until somebody beats them consistently. You know, every year somebody beat, you know, the Eagles beat them last year,
right,
and maybe the Giants beat them twice. But the difference is every year they're in the discussion.
Right.
So this will be, you know, you might have caught Miami on a hot day, or excuse me, when they were hot. It was a hot day, obviously.
Right, yeah.
But the problem now is you're up against a team that knows they've adjusted to everything. You've seen Vic Fangio. Whatever Vic can do, they've seen it.
Yep.
Tom Brady's seen it. And whatever Matt Nagy can do, Belichick's seen it.
What's so impressive about New England is that we talk so much about how football changes year to year. I mean, you look at last year, I think I saw Michael David Smith from Pro Football Talk tweeted this out. This year there have been three games where both teams have scored 40 points or more. From 2014 to 2017, there were two of those games total. So this Patriots team adjusts era to era from, I mean, the NFL in 2001 when they won their first Super Bowl, completely different sport than it is right now. And yet, Brady and Belichick have adjusted to everything. They've adjusted to different offenses. They've adjusted to the kind of spread coast offense that now the Bears are running. Mm-hmm. Granted, their defense is kind of, they're sort of beatable, but you have to beat them with excellent execution. And the Kansas City Chiefs can do that. Can the Bears?
Yeah, and they have. And I almost thought, again, I did. The Tampa game was exciting. If you just look at the numbers, I go, man, let's
see. And Tampa fired their defensive coordinator this week.
For all the firepower, it just wasn't. It was like, well, a win's a win. Take a win, but let's see what you do next week. And we did.
Trubisky
did well. Trubisky played a pretty good game overall. One big mistake, but Brady even makes some of those. But it's interesting. I was asking Nagy today, what is it about? He's worked for Andy Reid, mm-hmm. who's run a West Coast. You talk about, remember people were criticizing Lovie Smith. Oh, the cover two's passe. Well, not really. If you run it well, or you're like Andy, the West Coast offense, mm-hmm. that thing's been around for 30 years,
yep.
or some iteration. So I was asking Nagy, what is it about? Is it about Andy Reid? What is it about Bill Belichick that they are sustainable, besides a Hall of Fame quarterback that always helps?
That kind of helps.
But, I wasn't sure. I got to look back at how he answered it. But the respect for peers, which translates to me, it translates to learning. Mm-hmm. The image of Belichick, he's such a bullhead. He's a student. He is such a student of the game.
Absolutely.
And so he's a student of you. He's a student of what mm-hmm. you do. So he may have this the Patriot way, and it's, Belichick's way or the highway. Yeah, but within that, there's such a sophisticated.
Yes.
I think Brady has even said, because, obviously he's Belichick's a defensive coordinator with the Giants mm-hmm. and the Super Bowl and so forth. But he has benefited from what Belichick knows about defenses.
Yes.
So I think that's the level. And also being willing to learn. You see so many coaches mm-hmm. who kind of jam players into their system.
Mm-hmm.
Belichick was a 3-4 devotee a couple of years ago. It came a 4-3. And he's still, they're not as great as they were, but you look at the talent. They lost mm-hmm. Chandler Jones and Dante Hightower as a player. They don't have quite the studs they have had, mm-hmm. but they're still leading the AFC East. They're good for a reason.
Right, and I think that's almost kind of the transition now that you see in the NFL, because this was something I wanted to talk about with you, Moon, is that 2018, it is really hard to play defense. I mean, this is not going back to excuse what the Bears did against Miami. The Jacksonville Jaguars gave up 40 points mm-hmm. to the Dallas Cowboys. Dallas is a terrible offense.
And Jacksonville has some...
Jacksonville's the best secondary in the NFL.
Pretty good players.
And Cole Beasley shredded them like they were, whatever. The Los Angeles Rams, another great defense, they gave up 30 points to the Seahawks a couple weeks ago. The Baltimore Ravens, they had 11 sacks against Tennessee on Sunday. They've had some kind of uneven games this year. The way the NFL is designed right now, it's really hard to play defense consistently. So that's why New England basically saying, you know what? The offense is the centerpiece, and we're just, if you're going to score 40, we're going to score 43. Mm-hmm. And that
I think the league likes.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that's the biggest reason why you're mm-hmm. seeing so many scores going up, because this is what the league has designed itself to do. But that is just another way that Belichick has learned and adapted. And the point that I kind of wanted to go there with is that the Bears' defense is good. I think they're going to be mm-hmm. fine going forward. But it's really hard to win in the NFL if you don't have an offense and you don't have a quarterback. And this has changed even from 2017 to right now, where the Jaguars last year made the AFC Championship on the backs of a great defense. I don't think they're going to do that this year.
No.
I don't think you can make a run in the playoffs on the back of just a good defense. You now got to have the quarterback, and we're going to talk about this in segment two. But the Bears right now, the signs are pointing to the Bears maybe having that quarterback right now.
Well, he certainly got watch points to me were always completion percentage. Mm-hmm. There's a Ron Turner said, a completed pass is usually a positive play. Mm-hmm. And those, you can build on those. It's like Baron Rothschild said, you never go broke taking a profit. As long as you're taking a profit, you're moving. And I think they have that. I just wonder whether they're capable of winning a shootout. I mean, a true shootout.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, they sure didn't do it against Green Bay. Mm-hmm. And it was startling to look back and realize that in no fourth quarter in the five games, I got to lose track of mm-hmm. games, in no fourth quarter had they scored more than 7 points. Mm-hmm. But they've had 3 fourth quarters with field goals and two with a touchdown.
Yeah.
That is not the stuff that shootouts are made of. You look at Brady, he may be 41, 42, or 107, but they can score in the fourth quarter. Have the Bears reached that point? I don't know.
No, and Nagy made a point of that to mention today that, one of the things that stands out about Brady is that if he gets the ball with a chance to tie or win the game in the fourth quarter, he's going to make a special mm-hmm. throw. And, yeah. I mean, that's why, you remember the Super Bowl, he got the ball, they're down eight, and you just expected him to do something, and then when he didn't, it was like, whoa, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I mean, it was far more surprising that he didn't do that.
It's a surprise when they
don't. He did.
And I remember, again, I threw this piece together just last night, kind of recollections, and I thought, you know, I'll go ahead and pop something out. Just, it was a long time, I was thinking back to the first time I ever saw Brady play, mm-hmm. which was in the AFC Championship in 01, mm-hmm. and he got hurt, but then they put him in the Super Bowl, and that Super Bowl was Brady's and Belichick's first win.
Right.
In that game, with a minute 30 and no timeouts, he went down, scored a tying touchdown, mm-hmm. and then got Vinatieri
the field goal,
position to win. Which was the one thing, flipping over to the Bears, it was... That was the situation that Nagy and Trubisky were kind of in.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't do it. I'm almost thinking, not looking back exactly, but Nagy is coaching to win. He really isn't coaching for quarterback development. Mm-hmm. That should happen anyway.
Right.
So
right.
It was like a little, okay, I don't necessarily think those were the right calls, but mm-hmm. you knew he was playing to win the game, not just let's get Mitch out there.
Okay, yeah.
But in hindsight, it's like, well, let's see what this kid can do with maybe with a timeout, or I forget how many he had.
Yeah.
Even in the overtime, mm-hmm. go for it, kid. Let's see you do a Tom Brady here. But you know, the funny, just last quick thought, it was startling to think about that Super Bowl was Brady's 17th NFL start, which is exactly what Trubisky has now. So let's move again. We're not comparing guys,
right.
but we're just showing what you should be able to do if you got the it that
yes.
the Bears certainly hoped Trubisky
Absolutely.
Has.
We're going to get into that in part two, so we'll be right back here on NBCSportsChicago.com.
For monster coverage of the monsters of the Midway, download the My Teams app by NBC Sports. Keep the Bears at your fingertips every day of the week. Download the app today.
All right, JJ Stankovic, John Mumullen back here for part two. You never left. We took a break, but you never left. I want to talk about some positives with Mitch Trubisky, because what stood out to me in Miami was that first half was, you know, they weren't moving the ball well. He was missing some throws. It looked like the Mitch Trubisky of week two and week three. And they're playing a good defense, and it was kind of like, okay, maybe it was just Tampa. Maybe Tampa's mm-hmm. defense is so mm-hmm. awful that that's what turned out.
Yeah.
Miami's got a good defense. They've got, I think they're sixth in Football Outsiders DVOA coming into the week. That's a good defense.
Yeah, they can play.
And they came out, the Bears came out in the second half, touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. One of those set up by Kyle Fuller's interception, but the quick strike on some of these, deep throws to Taylor Gabriel.
They never punted, did they? I think that was like three touchdowns or four touchdowns and two turnovers, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. And the fumbling issues, so Jordan Howard is not a guy who's ever really been, ball security's never been an issue with him in his career.
Right.
Tariq Cohen, I'd have to go back, I think he fumbled a punt in Tampa last year. I can't remember another instance of him just straight up losing a ball in the middle of the field.
Yeah, no, this is not Rashawn Salaam where you think it's going to be one
right,
game.
Right, he doesn't have, you know, butter slapped over his hands or anything. But I think that if you kind of remove those two things, this offense looked really good, and then the interception that Trubisky threw in the end zone, the one concern I have with that is that, to me, that was a repeat mistake. And it's not from this year, but last year in Detroit, Glover Quinn picked off a very similar throw that he made.
Wasn't Minnesota his first start? Didn't Harrison Smith?
Well, that was different because he was rolling and he kind of got baited by Smith. It was a different throw, different spot in the field. This in the red zone.
Right.
Last year,
well, that's right.
I think it was Dontrell Inman was covered, and Mitch, I think, tried to look off the safety. He didn't do it, and because Quinn and, in this instance, T.J. McDonald, usually the free safety is kind of dropping back, and they're 20, 30 yards beyond the line of scrimmage, but when you're in the red zone, they're not. So you look them off, they're not really backpedaling, they're just kind of standing there, and when they don't go with your eyes, you can't make that throw. And he's now made it twice. Granted, different offenses, but similar throws, similar sort of concepts, I think.
Yeah, and I don't know what their – it should really be a question, X's and O's question. What are your rules? I mean, every position group has rules.
Right.
And typically, the free safety is one of the first reads you go to.
Right.
That's because your keying is a man or zone, depending on how that guy moves. Now, maybe that wasn't the case here, and maybe the shorter field – all bets kind of changed, but yeah, you're right. There was a certain, a mistake to it. But just going back to something you brought up, which I think was really important, is how he did not kind of throw or get down or whatever from a bad start. And it's just one of those things where, to me, a champion, again, this goes transcends sports, is somebody who does it when they're not hot. They win when they're not great.
Yeah, it's a pitcher who doesn't have his best stuff, but is able to go 7 or 8 innings.
Well, again, remember, Jimmy Connors, the tennis Hall of Famer, had won the U.S. and Wimbledon Open in 74, and somebody asked him, how do you do it? How do you stay hot for, those are two-week tournaments, how do you stay hot for 2 weeks? And this answer has stuck with me ever since. It's not staying hot for 2 weeks, it's winning on the 2 days you're not. Mm-hmm. And it's so, I don't have this today. Like you said, my slider's not working.
Yeah.
So you can't just call it in, or we can't call the desk saying, I'm just not feeling it.
Right.
I got writer's block. I just can't feel it.
Yeah.
But no, so when he picked himself up, that's a big deal. Mm-hmm. Because, not so much disregarding interceptions, but not coming back. And maybe this is the result, it just occurred to me, of kind of what we heard Nagy say. Remember, training camp, there was two a day.
Yeah,
just
right.
Two or three a day picks.
And
Nagy, I don't care. I want to get used to throw. So on the one hand, maybe that was the same throw we shouldn't have made.
Yeah.
But he also learned to come back and pick himself up from that and not let it. If you're so good, you're not hot. Go win.
And the drive after he threw that interception in the end zone, he let him downfield and he hit a wide open Anthony Miller for a touchdown, a pass that in the first drive of the game he didn't make. Mm-hmm. He overthrew him on it. So you're looking at throw to throw, drive to drive progression, and it's there. And the one thing that I also kind of keep going back on, though, is I don't want to get too far ahead of myself with positivity, because we've now seen back-to-back good games from Mitch Trubisky. But the mediocre to bad games this year still outweigh those in terms of just sheer volume, because you have three of those, the Packers, the Seahawks, and the Cardinals, against two good ones against the Dolphins and the Bucks. Yeah. If he comes out against New England and has a good game, now we're even on that. And I think we're okay. They're still pointing in the right direction. But to do it against a good defense, I just keep going back to that, that showed me a lot. And to do it in the second half after having such a miserable first half, that shows that the development of Trubisky there is there. But also that Matt Nagy is doing a really good job coaching and scheming this to the point where Trubisky feels comfortable with the offense, even if they don't put any points on the board in the first 30 minutes.
Yeah, and I think he can help. They're not going not a lot of three and outs this time. I mean, that's, giving his defense a rest and so forth. I mean, that's a whole other podcast on the defense and how they're going to respond to Tom Brady. If you had trouble with
Brock Osweiler,
let us know how you do on Sunday against this guy.
If anyone has any like magical healing powers for Khalil Mack's ankle, contact the Bears, because I think Khalil Mack's going to play. I'm just saying that, but whether he's 100%, I don't know.
Yeah, and they'll exploit it, and depending which ankle it is, they'll make him push off on that. Those are the things they scout. That's why everybody wants to know the injury report. We don't think of it that much, but oh my goodness, coaches just come in. Can you find out who practiced and who didn't? How they respond to the loss. And Nagy talked about they came back well from the Green Bay.
They did.
But again, they weren't playing the Patriots.
They were playing
Seattle.
Seahawks team.
And then Arizona after that.
Right.
So, so they had a couple of woebegones after that loss. This is not a woebegone. This is a woe.
Is this the most time woebegone has been used on a podcast that isn't affiliated with NPR?
I think it might. Okay, how can we work that in? Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I kind of want to say this about Trubisky, too, is that when you go back and you watch the first half, and, he's missing throws, he's not doing a lot of things right, I still liked some things that I saw checking into those quarterback sneaks. That's something that he's got pretty good at, of identifying, all right, this is going to be open. He got 4 yards on a quarterback sneak. He did hit Taylor Gabriel on that deep ball in the first half before Jordan Howard fumbled it away at the goal line. Certain things that even when things aren't going well on a play-to-play basis, he still is doing those things well. And I think if the overall thing you're looking for is progress, the things he was doing when things weren't going well in week 6 were better than the things he wasn't doing well when things weren't going well in week 3, if that makes any sense.
No, and I think the great question is still, how good is he?
Yeah, we don't know.
And each game is another weight on one side of the scale or the other. But
yeah.
And things have gotten better. But I always remember, better is not the same thing as means he got good.
Right.
It's just better than he was. And again, I do think he played pretty well. The passer rating, mm-hmm. which again is smaller, just one indicator. But it's the first time he's put up back-to-back hundreds, 100-plus.
Yeah.
So I think his confidence has to be rising. And, mm-hmm. again, I'm sure how Nagy handles the interception and that talks to him. But, just backing up just a little bit, what do you think Nagy was most upset about after that game?
Ooh.
Was it the call on Burton?
I think it's the officiating.
I think it might have been
I think the call on Burton, was...
Nobody calls that. But he actually didn't do it very well.
No, and see... So I go back to... 2014, I covered Notre Dame, Florida State. In Tallahassee, Notre Dame was in a end of the game. They had the ball on the 3-yard line. They ran a rub route. Touchdown, I think it was to Corey Robinson or maybe it was Will Fuller. And everyone's going nuts. Oh, my God, Notre Dame just beat Florida State. And they called offensive pass interference. And it was pretty apparent that he just didn't run the route. I think Trey Burton's, there's so much gray area there.
Mm-hmm.
The issue is that because there's so much gray area there, that call is not enforced the same way by every officiating crew.
Right.
So I think that's why Nagy was so pissed about it.
Yeah.
Because if they ran that play again a week earlier or a week later, it might not be called.
Right. Or was it incidental contact? It's funny, if they think you're intentionally screening the guy, mm-hmm. that flag will come out a little more easily.
Right.
And I was always remember Ed Hockey, who I said, can't you tell? And he said, yeah, we know, we can tell intent.
Right.
And so they probably can. So he may have looked like, maybe he needs to go to rub school, learn how to make that look a little better.
I wonder almost, too, if that was something that Gase told the officials on the sidelines of, hey, look out for this. Because that often is how that play could get mm-hmm. called. Because if an official isn't looking for it, they might say, oh, they just kind of ran into each other, but Burton was running his route. It's probably fine. Benefit of the doubt goes to the tight end there. But if they're looking for it and they see, okay, this is a rub route, what's he doing? Yep, that's offensive pass interference. That could be maybe mm-hmm. I'd be interested to know if Gase said anything to the officials about that.
Yeah. But now, and again, now getting back to looking forward, what I'm curious to see is how Trubisky will handle situations when, let's say the Patriots do what Miami did, mm-hmm. score, 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 three in a row. You got to be able to stay in a shootout, and you got to help your defense out because there are, and Nagy said there are, throughout a season there's always games where the offense has to win this one, the defense has to win that one. You hope or the special teams return, whatever. This week, unless the defense shows us more than they have, and they're about, I think, one of the most scored on teams in fourth quarters, which is not a good thing.
Kind of concerning.
Those just tuning in. And the number of stops they didn't make,
mm-hmm.
I think that is an incredibly big story.
Yeah.
Because it's going to force Trubisky to let out the shaft more.
Mm-hmm.
And again, which maybe Belichick and those guys are saying, look, this guy's great on checkdowns. He's good.
Yeah.
He's quick. Let's spy him. Let's keep mm-hmm. Hightower. Let's not blitz him.
Yeah.
Let's just have him mirror everybody and take Drake. Now what's he going to do? Especially if he has to score. So he's got to answer scores.
Right.